correct me if I'm wrong here, Keisha, but you're a city girl.
All the way. Yes. City, city, city.
And I'm a country girl. I actually had to go feed my chickens before we recorded this episode of The Deep Well. And maybe that's why I like to talk about buckets so much.
I literally do not own a bucket.
Well, I've got a barn full. I can loan you some. But I hope after this podcast episode, all of us are going to think about buckets a little bit differently.
This is The Deep Well with Aaron Davis. It's a podcast from Revive Our Hearts. I'm Keisha Griffin, ready to learn alongside you as Aaron continues to teach from Revelation 21. This bonus season of The Deep Well is all about the hope God's people can hold on to, described in Revelation 21. Last time, we considered the better country God has promised for his people. On this final episode of this series, we'll get a new filing system for everything in our lives.
Well, you might not know her story, but if you've sung in many church services, I bet you have sung the words she has written. Fanny Crosby is the author of more than 9,000 hymns. One that I love is Blessed Assurance. Here's a few words from that hymn. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. We've been talking about the promises of God recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. And Revelation records a vision that was given to the apostle John under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, by the time John was writing these words, he was an old man. He was a young man when he had seen Jesus, experienced his ministry firsthand, but now he is coming to those sunset years, probably looking back with fondness, but even more, looking forward to what was ahead for him. Now, John's words are meant to give us that blessed assurance that Fanny wrote about, and to help us look above as we watch and wait for Jesus to return for us. I hope you've been following along. We really have been soaking in this passage for a couple days, but my life is a testimony that we cannot hear these words too often. So let me read to us Revelation 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Underline those words, former things, in your Bible. And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Here's what Revelation 21 has done in my life. It has run a steel rod of truth straight up my back. It helps me stand for the gospel in ways that no other passage really does. And here's why. Because Revelation 21 puts everything in my life into two categories. I had a short stint as a secretary in college, and I struggled with the filing system because there were so many different categories, different colors of folders, different places for things to go, and Revelation 21 gives us just two categories. I am a farm girl, and so the farm girl in me likes to think of them as two buckets, former things and eternal things. That's it. Former things and eternal things. There's no third option. There's no gray area. There's just former things and eternal things. This passage has given me a new filing system for everything in my life. Either it will last forever or it is destined to pass away. It's either a former thing or it's an eternal thing. The list of former things is listed for us right here in Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Tears, former thing. Death, former thing. Mourning is a former thing. Crying is a former thing. Pain is a former thing. All physical pain your body will ever experience, it's a former thing. All heartache your heart will ever experience, it's a former thing. Everything that is broken in our culture and everything that is broken in us, they all go in the former things bucket. They're goners. They're circling the drain. I like to think of it with a different word picture. They're expired milk. They're just waiting to be thrown out. Now, sure, they might stink, but it's not something that I am going to have to carry with me forever. We think about our own lives. We think about what keeps us up at night, what makes our stomach tie in knots with anxiety, what keeps us from worshiping because we're so consumed with worry, what fractures our human relationships because we just can't let it go. All of those things will ultimately end up in the former things bucket. And yet those are the things that we spend the most time thinking about, the most time trying to fix, the most time venting about or talking to others about. And Scripture is saying, put them in the former things bucket. It's where they belong. They're destined to pass away. So what remains? What goes in the second bucket? Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. I'm going to read us Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. You, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. These verses give us this language. They perish. They wear out. God will roll them up. Well, what are the theys and the thems in this verse? What's everything listed in Revelation 21:4? Tears, they will perish. Pain, it will be rolled up. Death, it will be gone. The broken earth beneath our feet is a former thing. But force your heart to sit in this for a moment. Hebrews 1:11 again. They will perish, but you remain. You can think about anything in your life right now that's causing you grief or sorrow or anxiety, and you can look at that thing and say, they will perish, but you remain. Here's my deepest area of sin and need: discouragement, which often veers all the way into despair. I will wake up every morning and drive my life into that sin ditch every day without the Lord's help. I'll wake up and find myself discouraged before I've even had my breakfast. This is especially true in every area of ministry. Motherhood, where I'm trying to raise 4 boys to be warriors for the kingdom. I feel discouraged in that space every day. Serving in my church. I'm sure your church is like my church in that it is full of sinners. And it can be so discouraging to serve alongside sinners. Loving my neighbor sounds really lovely until I practically try to do it, and it's hard. Leading women to know and love their Bibles is a great passion of my life and a great source of discouragement. because so many women that I know and love aren't opening their Bibles. And bearing with each other in love is a ministry all unto its own and a place where I fight chronic discouragement. Without the perspective of God's word, I would always be discouraged in those areas. And being discouraged inevitably erodes our joy. Without the perspective of God's word, I would be a discouraged, fruitless, miserable Christ follower. And that's not who I want to be. So here are the three words that lift my eyes from my discouragement every day. You ready for them? Three words. But you remain. Jesus, you remain. All of this will pass away, but you remain. I will always face discouraging circumstances, but I need not always face discouragement. Because what recalibrates my heart, what re-energizes my work, what refocuses my eyes on the mission is the permanence of Christ and his kingdom. Which brings me to that second bucket. What goes in that bucket? That eternal things bucket. It's so simple. Only three things go in that bucket. God goes in the eternal things bucket. Psalm 102:12 says, "But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations." God is an eternal thing. God's word goes in the second bucket. 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord remains forever." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." My Bible goes in the eternal things bucket. One more thing, people. God's people will exist with him forever, and those who do not know him will exist without him forever. All people are eternal things. That's it. Just three things. God, his word, and people. Those three things will exist for a million years. Those three things will exist for a million, million years. I don't know the numbers that are bigger than those, but as many, as far as our numbers go and beyond that, God, his word, and people will exist forever. They're eternal things. And this is the reality of Revelation 21 that has changed my life. It is what shifts our hearts away from the challenges we face and away from the challenges the people around us are facing. Everything from minor annoyances to major heartbreaks has to go in one of the two buckets. God's word helps us see that so much of it is a former thing. Now, if you're listening to this and you're in the middle of real pain, real sorrow, I want you to hear me say this. I'm not saying those things don't matter. God cares about the details of your life, and he asks us to carry the burdens of others. But what I am saying, what Revelation 21 is teaching us, is that those things won't always matter. Sharing the gospel, Christ's work in our own hearts as we're being changed into his image, the people we spend our days working beside, the children who sit around our breakfast table, the Bible which we spend our days reading and living, those things will remain forever. There's a Helen Rosevier quote that has deeply impacted me. If you're not familiar with Helen's story, she was a missionary to Central Africa in the mid-1900s. She's with the Lord now. But while she was serving on the mission field, she saw civil war break out. She was arrested. The medical facilities that she had worked years to build were destroyed, and she was beaten and violently attacked. Yet whenever she would talk about living her life for Jesus, she would always talk about the privilege. I've been captivated by these words in particular.
Looking back, one has tried to count the cost. But I find it all swallowed up in privilege. The cost suddenly seems very small and transient in the greatness and permanence of the privilege.
That thought of the greatness and permanence of the privilege of living my life for Jesus has changed me. Helen's words in particular have changed the way that I pray. I frequently pray like this: Jesus, there is no cost to count here. There's just the privilege. And that is truly how I feel about living my life for Jesus. And it's not because it's easy, and it's not because there's not speed bumps, but there is no cost to count. There's just the permanence of the privilege. There's just the fact that everything that matters goes in the eternal things bucket. That's not some pie in the sky thought that doesn't have any weight to it. Following Jesus cost Helen plenty. And Jesus never tricked us into thinking it wouldn't cost us. He promised us it would cost us. And we're living in this culture where for some of us, we're experiencing for the first time following Jesus costing us something. And there's just the permanence of the privilege. At the end of the day, or God willing, at the end of my life spent serving Jesus, there's another prayer I've prayed often, especially when I'm in nursing homes or around people at the end of their lives. I say, Jesus, wring me out like a washcloth. I want to be in those final years and those final moments with just nothing left to give because I've been so squeezed by the Lord for his glory. And so at the end of what I hope my life looks like, where I'm just wrung out for the glory of the Lord, there's just the permanence of the privilege. There's just the eternal things bucket. Whatever it costs us to follow Jesus, we should pay it because we have the hope that God's work in us and through us can never be taken from us. It's already in the bucket, the eternal things bucket. There was an 18th century pastor and theologian who would pray this prayer, Lord, stamp eternity onto my eyeballs. I have that written in the margins of my Bible next to Revelation 21 because that's what this passage does for me. It sears eternity onto my eyeballs. My flesh, my eyeballs want to look at this moment in time. But this passage stamps eternity onto my eyeballs. This is the reason why Revelation 21 has changed me. Why I hope it's changed my family. Why I hope it's changed my small group, my church, my community. Because it has taught me to focus on what goes in the eternal things bucket and to hold on very loosely to everything in the former things bucket. I was traveling recently, and you should know I'm a head down traveler. And the woman next to me was trying to strike up a conversation. I was putting off the vibe that I didn't want to talk, but she wasn't picking up on it. And so she started to tell me this story. It was an unbelievable story. I Googled it later because it seemed so unreal what she was telling me. And it's her story. I won't tell it here. But the bottom line was that her family had experienced such tremendous horror and grief, I couldn't look her in the eyes as she was telling it to me. And she finished the story and she looked to me and I knew she wanted me to tell her something, but I didn't know what it was. And so I asked this question: are the promises of God true? Because this woman was a pastor's wife, she was a woman of faith, and I needed to know if God really keeps his promises in a valley so dark I couldn't fathom it. She looked at me, and she smiled. She said this: every single one of them. God had kept his promises to her in such incredibly dark moments. And barely on the other side of that darkness, she was declaring that God keeps every single promise he's ever made to his children. I think of her so often. And I can't wait to see her in heaven and tell her how that story has transformed me to know that these promises in Revelation 21, which frankly feel too good to be true, are going to be kept. Because does God keep his promises? Every single one of them. I want you to think about Fanny Crosby again. I read to you some of her lyrics from Blessed Assurance, and here's some of her story. Fanny was a blind hymn writer, but she wasn't born blind. She experienced blindness as a result of a medical error when she was a baby. Someone once said something to Fanny about what a pity it was that God didn't give her sight when he had given her so many other gifts. And Fanny said this, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind? Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." In many ways, Fanny's reality is our reality. When we get to heaven, all will be revealed, and we'll see in full for the very first time the precious gifts that Jesus has been storing up for us. And this is our blessed assurance. Former things are going to take their rightful place as things that are no more. They're goners. And eternal things, God, God's word, and God's people will be ours forever. Lord, stamp eternity onto our eyeballs. Amen.
After listening to this series, I am so grateful for the reminders to help me live day by day in 2021. Reminders that the things that have broken our hearts, that have filled us with fear and anxiety and worry, that has caused us some pain and some sorrow and bring tears to our eyes, that these things are temporary. They're not eternal things. They go in the former things bucket. And that one day soon they will all pass away. This series has filled my heart with so much peace. And if you've loved opening your Bible with Aaron as much as I have, grab Aaron's latest study, Seven Feasts, Finding Christ in the Sacred Celebrations of the Old Testament. Visit reviveourhearts.com/thedeepwell. Again, reviveourhearts.com/thedeepwell. All right, it's time for Aaron Unscripted. Are you ready, Aaron?
I'm ready.
Aaron, your teaching on Revelation 21 could not be more timelier. I've truly enjoyed the series. Your lesson on the two buckets, the former things and the new things, was so good. It was just amazing and so good. I was encouraged by it very much. It gave me hope. I first heard the teaching from Aaron about former things and new things, or eternal things. And it got me to thinking about the transition between 2020 and 2021. And one thing that I am going to be focusing on in 2021 is using my time wisely.
Well, I know we're well into 2021 by now, but 2020 taught me that I don't just need more time. I always thought, well, if I had more time, then I would walk closer with Jesus. Well, 2020 handed me nearly endless time. 2020 taught me that I don't just need less responsibilities. I've thought that too. Well, if I have so much on my plate and if I didn't have this, then I would prioritize walking with Jesus. Well, all my responsibilities evaporated and I still reached for things other than Jesus to give me comfort. And so 2020 was such a collision with recognizing my flesh, that it's not just that I need my circumstances to change. I need God to change me.
Yes.
And so I headed into the new year with a level of humility. I'm not sure I've headed into New Year's before, just realizing, like, I can't do anything in my own strength. I won't. I need Jesus. And so my resolve is the same this year as it probably will be every year until I'm in glory, which is just, I want to open my Bible, open my Bible, open my Bible, open my Bible. And not just to read it, but because it is the means by which Jesus transforms me. So I'm just trying to keep opening my Bible.
Right. And as we open up our Bible, especially after listening to your series of the former things and the new things, I, as a sexual abuse survivor, you know my story, often am plagued by the former things, the memories, the suffering of traumatic memories and those things. And if I'm not careful, I can tend to dwell on the former things. But you have helped me through your series to remember to focus on the eternal things, the things that matter most. And you said there's three things, only three things that belong in that bucket. And that is God himself, the word of God, and God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Three things belong in that bucket. Can you give us two tips on how to stay focused? You mentioned God and seeking Jesus and being proactive and intentional in 2021. But help us to focus on God's people, because I think we're missing that right now. We're missing that aspect.
We're for sure missing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think another thing that 2020 did for me is for several months of it, I just took a giant permission slip to focus on myself.
Right.
I turned inward. Yeah. We were all at home.
Yeah.
And so the things, the activity that I might normally do to turn outward, it was all gone. I couldn't reach out to a friend necessarily and invite her to coffee if I knew she was down. I couldn't take meals to somebody necessarily. So I just got real comfortable in my sweatpants and my Netflix and my snacks. And I just focused on me. And few things are a faster track to misery than focusing on ourselves. And what happened is a woman in my church named Nancy, not Nancy DeMoss Wogamuth, a different Nancy who goes to my church. And you, what you should know about Nancy is she's in all the high-risk categories for coronavirus.
Mm.
She had partial lung removed last year. She's in the over 65 bracket. She had every reason to just hunker down at home. But instead, Nancy calls me one day and says, "Hey, Aaron, I'm making the rounds. I'm blessing people. I don't really want to get close to you, but I'm going to drop some food off on your picnic table. Would love to chat with you at a distance for that." So I meet Nancy out of the picnic table. She's cooked a meal for my family. She's bought a plant for me. She's written out Bible verses. And I was just one of, I don't know how many stops on Nancy's list that day. And I was very blessed by it, but also deeply convicted that I had not been reaching out. And so how do we treasure God's people? Think of it this way. God's people are who you are going to spend eternity with.
Yes.
I mean, they are who you're going to be with forever and ever and ever and ever. Another way to think about it is they're who God has chosen to be with forever and ever and ever. So they're precious. And I think we have to find ways to reach out. Now, am I telling you to violate the mask mandates in your county? No, I'm not. Am I telling you to do things that you're not comfortable with? No, I'm not. There are so many ways that we can reach toward God's people, even while being careful during the midst of this pandemic. So that's my question. Do you treasure God's people? Do you see them as the treasure that God does? They are one of a very short list of things that are going to last forever. And then if you do, how do you reach out?
Yeah.
Are you praying for the saints? I believe that the war on the saints has ratcheted up a few notches. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I know there's a war on the saints. Are you praying for the saints? Are you encouraging the saints? Scripture tells us, as long as it's called today, encourage each other.
Courage. So that's right.
If it's a day that ends in Y, you need to be encouraging the saints.
Yes.
And there's a lot of ways to do that. It could be a text message. It doesn't have to take long. And then, you know, God's people are in your home, probably. My husband and my children are God's people. They're part of God's family. And so am I intentionally turning outward toward them or just turning inward toward myself? I want to invest. When I think about how I spend my time, how I spend my money, how I spend my energy,
yes,
I got to find ways to put them in those eternal things bucket. And that means investing them in God, God's word, and God's people.
I've loved learning from Aaron, and I've loved opening my Bible with each of you. Don't forget, God's word is a deep well. You can drop down your bucket and pull up truth every time. The Deep Well with Erin Davis is a production of Revive Our Hearts, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.